All right, I want to finish Romans chapter 8 and look at where we left off last week in verses 35 and 36, where it read, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" This is titled "The Love of Christ Part 9," subtitle "His Love Conquers All." His love conquers all. Paul says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" And so as we read that, we get a picture in our minds of our loving Jesus, our love for Christ, and something. Paul is positing this question, who or what shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then he goes on and he asks, shall tribulation or distress or persecution? Shall any of these things, shall lack of food or lack of clothing? Like I said, I remember after, I believe it was Hurricane Andrew or Hugo, I forget which it was. It was in Florida, and a woman's house was totally destroyed, and she's walking, pacing up and down the sidewalk, and she's mad at God, and she yells out, "Where's God and when all of this happens? Where is he?" I was like, wow. And it was almost as if what had happened to her was changing what she thought of God. That's what Paul is saying. Shall, because of what happens to you, if because you don't have food or you don't have the proper clothing that you think you ought to have, or if you're in danger, are you going to throw off your love for Christ? Paul is saying, shall any of these things be able to separate us from the love of Christ? And he quotes Psalms 44 and verse 36, "As it is written, for your sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter." And in verse 37, Paul answers his question. Okay? This is what how it reads. "Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ," or through him who loved us. And so Paul posits the question, shall anything that comes upon you be able to separate you and I from the love of Christ? And then he answers it this way. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So the emphasis is not on how much we love him, but it's on how much he loves us. Okay? So the picture that I often see in my mind, and the picture that I use, is when a parent is getting ready to cross a busy intersection and they have a little toddler and the toddler's crossing with them. The parent doesn't then look at the toddler and say, "Hold on to me so we can get across the street." At least not any wise parent, not any loving parent. The parent grabs the child. It does not depend on the child's grasp on the parent. And so the scripture, as Paul is saying, is God's not depending on our love for him. He's depending on his love for us, is what will keep us, our love for him, strong through whatever comes, through whatever tribulation, whatever danger, whatever pain, whatever torment, whatever is we are assailed with. His love for us is what keeps our love for him strong. And so, as I've been saying before, it always goes back to him. It always goes back to God first. We love him because he first loved us. That's essentially what Paul is saying here. And that scripture comes out of the John's epistle, the first epistle of John. But Paul is saying the same thing here. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing. Nothing. In all of these things, in all of whatever comes, we are more than conquerors. How are we more than conquerors? Because my love is so great and so dependable and so strong for God. Let me tell you what. No, I'm going to tell you right now. Don't even go that way. No, it's not because, you know, as the, I think it was the Bee Gees who sang, "How deep is your love?" You know, I forget who sang. Anyhow, no, it's not about the strength of our love. It is about his commitment and his love to us. The word in the Greek is only translated this one time in all of the New Testament. means to gain a decisive victory. When he says we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, that more than conquerors means an overwhelming defeat of the enemy, an overwhelming victory for us who are in Christ Jesus. And it means that it's his love that has given us this great victory. So in 1 John 3:1, John says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Behold what manner of love. You see, God's love for us does not change, even though our love for him does. It's not like a relationship, like a normal relationship. You know, it used to be said in marriage, you know, you bring 50 and I'll bring 50 and then we got 100%. But if you think about it, there's a problem there. If I only have 50% of your love, hello, if I only have 50%, what happens on the day when I need 70? Hello? What happens when I need 70? Because that's our relationship with the Lord, right? There are days when, Lord knows, every day I need 100%. Every day I need. Because I'm going to do something, say something, think something's going to foul it up. But God, see, here's the thing about God's love. When you and I are going through a hard time, I'm told that when people go through the 7 stages of grief, one of the stages is anger at God. It's one of the stages. Well, guess what? If you go through that stage, it doesn't change God's love for you. Jonah is wanting, God wants Jonah to go preach to the Ninevites, and Jonah says, no, I'm not having it, because why are you going to be merciful to them? And they're our enemies. All the while not realizing that God is being merciful to Jonah. Hello, a whale swallowed him up. God could have told the whale, that's dinner. Have it. That's it. You know, and Jonah's not realizing. This is after he's out of the belly of the fish. He's still saying, God, you shouldn't be merciful to these people. Never mind. And then God calls a plant to grow up over him because the sun's beating down on his head. And Jonah lays out and says, oh, ah, yes, I got the victory now. The shade is me. And then God caused a worm to come and eat up the plant that was shading Jonah. Now Jonah's mad again. Ah, what's wrong, God? You know? No. God's love for us does not change. That's why even though we go through the changes of life, the vicissitudes, if you will, the ups and downs of life, and we often change with it. Hello? Now, I don't really believe that Christians should be moody people. I don't believe Christians should be moody people. The saint should be leave him alone today, because, hey, he in a bad way today. No, what on earth is wrong with you? Hello. If Christ is in you, Christ does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's what the whole fruit of the Spirit is all about. It's Christ's nature growing in us. Love, joy, peace, patience, right? Goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance, or self-control. All of these things are growing up in us. And so what we begin to understand is that we live constantly a life of love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, right? Against such, Paul says, there is no law. Now, did you know that you were more than conquerors through him who loved us? Did you know that? You say, Pastor, on one of my bad days, I kind of forget. Yeah, but on the scripture says, Paul says, that whatever tribulation, whatever distress or persecution or famine, whatever comes upon you, what we ought to be able to say is what Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Did you know that you were more than conquerors? Which means, again, gain a surpassing victory, to overwhelmingly conquer. in the tribulation, in the persecution, in the distress, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So since the Godhead is the author and initiator of the love of Christ toward us, how can anything therefore separate us from what he wills? And that is his love covering us day by day. His love therefore dictates that nothing shall separate us from his love. Nothing shall separate us from his love. His love conquers all that would come against the saints. His love, let me say it again, conquers all that would come against the saints. And we see it in the New Testament, all throughout the New Testament. But I love the account in Acts chapter 7. Remember what Jesus said when he was on the cross? And at one point he looked down and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And so Jesus forgave them from the cross. But in Acts chapter 7, while Stephen, one of the first martyrs of the church, was being stoned to death, he too, as he was falling asleep, said this, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." Okay? What is that but love? What is that but love? Forgiving those who are killing you. Forgiving, well, forget that. We don't have to go that far. Forgiving those who are talking bad about, forgiving those who are mistreating you. This is where the Christian is to be found. Why? Because Christ is indwelling us. So his love conquers all that would come against us as saints of God. Conquest does not come through strength. Conquest comes through the love of Christ. And we're going to see this played out either way on the streets of our nation. And I know in Seattle, Portland, they were having protests again, and Antifa and the Proud Boys or whatever, these groups are fighting and so forth. But that's not going to get it done, because the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. It's not going to change until true Christian love. True Christians, listen, true Christians who, though they are persecuted, love. Why? Why do they love in the midst of persecution? Because the love of Christ in them keeps them, causes them to walk in love and not in hatred, not in vindictiveness. See? Not trying to get revenge. And so Paul says to us, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life." And Paul, he goes right at it. He goes right at the thing that most Christians wouldn't even want to talk about, but yet they're concerned. Some people are concerned about it. Some Christians are even scared of it, and that's death. That's death. Paul says, "For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life." And so while we're going through all of the tribulations and the persecutions, Paul says we are victorious over them because of Christ's love for us is not altered or disturbed in any way, even though we are facing death or life. It's his love that brings us through all things in this life and secures our love for him. His love brings us through all things that we would ever experience in this life and secures our love for him. You see, God is watching over your love and my love. Hello. He's watching over our love. And our love for him is growing. And it's growing because of his love for us. The Ephesians says it this way, that Christ is preparing for himself a bride without spot, without wrinkle. And the book of Revelation then says that the bride hath made herself ready. So Ephesians says he's making ready a church. Revelation says she's making herself ready. The two go together, God first and then us. We respond. He who has this revelation in himself purifies himself even as he is pure, the first epistle of John tells us. And so we're purifying our hearts because of our love for Christ. The reason you and I love God today is due to his great love for us that was demonstrated at the cross. That's why we love him the way we do. Paul said that you are more than conquerors through him, through him. And I'm so glad he said through him who loved us. He didn't stop with you are more than conquerors, because we would be careful to think that that conquering spirit and is our own, and that conquering strength and strategy and wisdom that came from me. Aren't I brilliant? No, he says you are more than conquerors through him, through Christ, and only through Christ. John 1:3 says, you know, John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. And verse 3 says, all things were made by him or through him. And it says, without him, nothing was made that was made. But all things were made through him. Through him. You are more than conquerors through him. My God. And this is what Paul is hoping and wanting the saints to get a hold to. Lay hold on it. Grasp on it. Cling to it and never forget it. That we are more than conquerors through Christ. And so everything that I have to deal with, all that I don't know that's coming upon me tomorrow and the next day, I am more than a conqueror through Christ who loves me. Through Christ who loves me. So the focal point then becomes Christ. Becomes Christ. It doesn't become my strength. It doesn't become my ability, as we in America pull yourself up by your bootstraps. I did it. Aren't I great? No. Matter of fact, all that's crumbling to the ground right now. God's making sure that all of it is crumbling to the ground. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken, so that nothing will be left standing except for that which God has ordained, right? And so then, all things were made through him and for him. All things were made through him, and therefore all things are subject to him. Listen, and if that's true, then all the tribulation, the distress, the persecution, whatever comes upon me is subject to him. And if he allowed it, then he's given me everything I need to go through it, because I am more than a conqueror through him. Amen. And if what he allows comes through him, then I'm going to conquer through him. Amen. So therefore, I'm not in despair. Therefore, I'm not at my wit's end wondering, how am I going to make it? What's going to happen? No, God's with me. God has allowed it. And I'm going to conquer through him, through Christ. And someone might say, if all things are subject to him, why then does he allow us to go through all of what Paul just described? Well, that's a good question. And the answers are multiple answers. But one of which is that he allows man, and from the beginning, he gave man a free will. He gave man a will, and he said, don't eat from this tree. Excuse me. Don't eat from this tree, for the day that you eat, you shall surely die. And he let man exercise his will, because he made man in his own image. And so just as he did then, but man had to live with the fruit of his decisions, and every man is going to be held into account. A lot of the hardships and the tribulation that we're going through in this life is because of decisions that mankind has made. That's one of the answers, right? But be sure of this: because of our willful sin, death has been loosed upon all the earth. But everyone is going to be held to account for every action and every word. But if God didn't allow that, how could one know the love of Christ? How could one contrast the love of Christ then from what we have? Right? So thus, he allows it so that we might come to him. The scripture says, he who made all things makes us overwhelmingly victorious in the midst of every affliction. This is what Paul is saying in Romans 8 and 37. He who made all things makes us overwhelmingly victorious in the midst of every affliction because of his love and sacrifice has forever made us right with God, who is Lord over all things. And so the one who is Lord over all things, he allows things to come. Tribulation, distress, nakedness, peril, sword. You know, like I heard one pastor say, he said, I'm sure James' mother had a problem with what happened with Peter, because the angel came and set Peter free, but her son James was killed by the sword. And that is a thought on a human level, on a human level. But when we come higher to the level of what Paul is teaching, he's saying, no, even in death, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. You say, how so? Because he conquered death. That's wild. He conquered death. Amen. And so in John 3:17, Jesus said, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, that the world through him might be saved. What is God doing today above all things? People wonder. I heard someone wondering out loud one day, said, does God watch football? I said, well, Lord Jesus, help us. Help us. Give us the mind of Christ, Lord. Help us, Jesus. No, we watch football. That's who watches football. Does God? No, God does not watch football. Well, what's God doing with all his time? He doesn't live in time. What does God do? I tell you what God is doing. Jesus said it right here. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. Neither should Christians condemn the world. Amen. But that the world through him might be saved. What is God doing today? He's saving people. What is he doing tomorrow? He's saving people. What was he doing yesterday? He's saving people through Christ. That is what God is doing. He's not watching basketball. Come on. He's not watching football, soccer. Amen. No, he's saving people. And he's doing it through Christ and through Christ alone. Paul goes on and he says in Romans 11:36, I love this scripture. He says, for of him and through him and to him are all things. Think about that. Of him, through him, and to him. They speak to me of origin, of him, are all things. Through him, he sustains and maintains all things. And to him, all things have their destiny in God. He's the Alpha and the Omega and everything in between. All of this world is not about any one of us. It's all about him. It's all about him. So why the Bible says in Psalm 150, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Why praise the Lord? Because he spoke and everything was created. He commanded and everything came into existence. Therefore, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Listen, church, that's where we're headed. We are going to live in that reality one day, a new heaven and a new earth, and everything in it, everything that has breath, is going to all give praise to God. And he's allowed us to be a part of that. Woo! And what are you worried about? Oh, they didn't like the fact that you was a Christian? You worried about that? Oh, okay. That's okay. Keep walking with Jesus. You're going to get past that. You're going to get it past that. Why? Because what he has for us so far, it so far surpasses that. Amen. Colossians 1:16, Paul says this: for by him are all things, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. Come on, church, listen. Do you know that scientists, these astrophysicists tell us that what the visible universe, what you can actually see, this is what I'm about to tell you is astounding. When I think about God and who he is and what he has done, it is astounding. This is what I've read. The visible universe, what you can see, Jupiter, not just Jupiter, all the solar system, all of it outside of our solar system, represents 4% of the matter in the universe. 4% what we can see. You go on Google, puts in universe, and just look at all these galaxies that fill. They said there are trillions of galaxies, right? They don't know how many, because it keeps expanding. As we're saying, it's expanding. They said that the visible universe represents 4%, and there's this thing called dark matter. In other words, they believe it's there because it has gravitational pull and effects, but they can't see it. They don't know what it is. Hello. He created all things visible and invisible. I can't wait to see the invisible. Amen. It's like God has a playground and says, open the door, says, go and play. You know, we just run. And whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, listen, all things were created through him and for him. All things. That means you and me, the animals, this planet, everything was created through him. So when Paul says that we are more than conquerors through him, he's talking about the God who created all things, that he has caused us to conquer and given us an overwhelming and a decisive victory through him, through Christ. 1 John 4:9, John says, in this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Through him. I was praying, as I was praying over this message and I was reading this word, the prayer kept coming back to me to pray for us as the body of Christ, as the church, that we would constantly realize the life that we now live, we live through Christ. It is through him. Oh my God. Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The life that we have now, we're living through him. It's through Christ. It's through Christ. And that we would not get our physical lives, the physical taking in of air and expelling air, confused with the spiritual life. Hello? Because they're not the same. Hello? We were physically alive long ago when we were sinning like running water. But we were not spiritually alive. Paul in Galatians is talking about how we were crucified with Christ. He's speaking spiritually. And so the Christian's life, the spiritual life, exists solely because of Christ and is in Christ, right? Lord, help us not to confuse physical life with spiritual life, because it is this spiritual life and love given to us by God that the things of this life cannot touch or alter. Cannot touch it. Or alter it. That's the love that we have for Christ. That's the love that we have for God that was given to us by God, that was given to us by his love for us. Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, he says, if you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above. I know we all have things to do. And I know tomorrow morning that maybe some of you have a list like I do. Do you have a calendar? There's things on that list. And I know that you're going to, you know, we're going to get up. We're going to pray. I need to get this done today. Help me get that done today. But as Paul said here in Colossians 3:1, he says, if you then be risen with Christ, set your mind on things above. Set your affections on things above. Set your mind on the things of Christ. And I know if we need to get the car inspected, you know, we pray, Lord, help us. So we need money for this. We need money. But can we pray? Can we have a heart for the apostolic prayers that Paul prayed through the will of God? He prayed things like this. I'm praying that God would give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. In other words, Paul says, I want you to know him more. In Ephesians 3, he says, I'm praying that Christ would dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love would know the height, the depth, the width, and the length, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. How many of us will get up tomorrow morning and say, oh God, help me to know the depths of your love. Help me to walk in your love and in the depths of your spirit. Spirit all this day long. Transform me that I might be like Christ. Paul says, set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. You say, but if I don't pray, those things won't get done, will they? Moses just told us a couple weeks ago that the Father knows what you have need of before you ask him. Listen here. Listen, if you and I, if we set our hearts on the things that God has his heart set on, I believe he'll take care of all that little stuff that we worry so much about. Lord, is this going to happen? Is that going to happen? Come on, are you serious? If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven? Come on, look. Amen. He's already provided. Come on. He gives the cattle upon 1,000 hills are his. All the silver and the gold is his. And so he knows what we have need of. That's not escaped his attention. If we would just but trust him and say, oh Lord, but Father, the things that you want in me, in my family, in us, oh Lord, let it be. That's my cry. And so Paul says, set your affection, set your minds on things above, not on the things on the earth. Watch this, for you died. Now I know he's speaking figuratively, but Paul says in Romans 8, he says, for I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, and here he says, you died. Have we? Yes, we have. Yes. How many of you know Paul says that as many of you as were baptized into his death, were baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death? So that we are identified with Christ in his death, that as he was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also should walk in newness of life. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. Your life is hidden. You say, why don't I understand my life? That's part of the reason why it's hidden. But God knows. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So, Lord, help us to be aware of the spiritual life that you have given us. This spiritual life vastly outweighs physical life. Vastly outweighs physical life. And that's why Paul says, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life. He wasn't concerned with death. He says this. He says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Philippians 1:21, I believe it is. For me to live is Christ, but to die, I even get more. Oh, my goodness. Paul was not consumed with this physical life. He wasn't consumed with this present existence. John even said in John 2:15, love not the world, nor the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Oh, yeah. So we have a counterbalance. There we even have a way to judge who loves the Father and who doesn't. Because the Bible says, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. Come on. And it's going to begin to distinguish between those who call themselves Christians and those who are really Christians. So Paul puts into perspective this spiritual life that is ours through Christ, through the love and sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And we saw that in Galatians 2 and 20 when he said, I've been crucified with Christ. Again, he's speaking spiritually. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. All of that was speaking spiritually until he got to this point, who loved me and gave himself for me. That was historically true and taking place in time and space. Right? So this life that he now lives is the result of the love of Christ. He says, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul says we are more than conquerors through him who loved us in Romans 8. In Galatians 2:20, he says, I'm living a new life by him who loved me and gave himself for me. And oftentimes in scriptures, when it talks about the love of God, it oftentimes talks about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It is the love and sacrifice of Christ that convinced Paul that since God created all things and that he had set his love upon us, there could be nothing other than God that could separate us from his love. This is why he said, if God be for us, who could be against us? God has set his love upon us. There's no one but God who could separate us from his love. Therefore, we are sure of his love. In Ephesians 2 and 4, Paul says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, has made us alive together with Christ. You see that? So he talks about God's great love as he says that God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love wherewith he loved us, has made us alive together with Christ. The love is coupled again with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:2, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet aroma. And so again, the love of God is coupled with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And why is this? The reason is because sacrifice is how God demonstrated his love for us. Sacrifice is the way he demonstrated. That's what Paul said in Romans 5 and verse 8, where he said, God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What is the sacrifice but the demonstration of God's love? And so wherever it talks about love, it talks about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Why? To make clear to us God's love. So when Paul says, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Him who loved us and sacrificed himself for us. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church. And how's love demonstrated? And he gave himself for her. He gave himself for her. It's not enough to say, I love you. It's not enough. God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. So when Paul says that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, we understand the full weight of that declaration that God loved us and he sacrificed himself for us. What does that mean? Well, what it means is that the very first and most powerful thing that Paul deals with, he says, I am persuaded that neither death nor life. Why does he deal with death first? Because Christ embraced death for you and I, and he destroyed it. He conquered the grave. He took the sting out of death. He took the victory out of the grave. There is no victory now. The devil is defeated. The kingdom of hell is destroyed. He lost because he thought that he would totally annihilate the whole human race. The God who is love, the God who is life, because of his own judgment upon sin, would have to consign these people to eternal death. But no, God said, I have a plan where I'm going to raise them back up to life. And they, through their life, will defeat you. Through Christ, my son. Amen. So Paul starts with what every saint fears the most, and yet what Christ gave for us, and that was death. He said, neither, I am persuaded that neither death nor life. So Paul deals with the whole spectrum, death on one end, life on the other. And in dealing with the two, he includes everything in between. There is nothing that could come upon you or I in this life on to death that could separate us from the love of God that is in Christ. You say, but what if someone held a knife to your throat or a gun to your head? I've talked to a man who had a gun to his head. We witnessed the Coptic Christians years ago on the beaches of, I forget what, they were in orange jumpsuits and bags over their head. And the Muslims had, I don't know if it was the Muslims, I'm sorry, it was the terrorist ISIS, had the knife to their throat. Took the head off. You say, could I go through that in that moment? Christ would be standing right there. John the Baptist, Jesus said, blessed is he who is not offended in me, John. John said to his disciples, are you the one? Do we look for another? And Jesus said, blessed is he who is not offended. Jesus, are you going to set me free? Blessed is he who is not offended in me, John. They took off his head. Wait till you see John when you get to heaven. John's dancing and he's rejoicing in the Lord. You say, well, John, they took. No, everything's fine. Look, everything's good. Hey. From death, neither death nor life, the scripture says. Neither angels nor principalities nor powers. No angel, no demon could separate. One scholar said, why would an angel, a good angel, want to separate us from the love of God? A good angel wouldn't, but we're prone to. Come on, you remember John was the revelator. He was being shown all these things, and he was so overwhelmed with it that at one point he fell down at the angel's feet to worship the angel. The angel had to set him straight. Hey, get up. What you doing? No. Worship him. Worship the Lamb. Come on. So neither angels nor principalities nor powers or magistrates, those who are in authority in this world. And you know, the more you walk with Christ, the more you walk in him, not just with him, but in him. And realize what David said, I will not fear what man can do to me. He said, but I will trust in God in Psalm 56. He said, I no longer fear what they may do to my body, because the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And David, as you walk with him, as you're walking in him, you realize who he is. Jesus was so confident in the love of his Father that when the magistrate set upon him and Pilate came to him and said, "Do you not know I have power to release you, or I have power to have you crucified?" Jesus looked at him and said, "You have no power but that which is given to you of God." Jesus knew exactly where he was. He knew exactly who he was. And he knew every hour, and he knew that the temptations were coming upon him. But I know this, I believe this with all of my heart. When you need God, when you need him in the midst, in other words, God gives you grace. Paul, he said to Paul, when Paul was going through this affliction with this angel, this messenger of Satan, and he asked God three times, he said, "God, would you take this thing?" And God said this, "My grace is sufficient for you." Hey, hallelujah. Look what that means then is this. That hardship, that problem, when those people, when those Coptic Christians were knelt down on the beach, and I'm sure they're in their minds going, oh, God, help us. The grace of God that was sufficient for them at that hour was theirs and helped them to hold true to their testimony that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I will not recant. I will not turn back. And Jesus said in Revelation to one of the churches, he says, "Be faithful unto death and I will give you a crown of life." Be faithful unto death and I will give you the crown of life. Amen. Oftentimes we focus on the death and not the life. Come on. Help us, Father. So he said, neither powers. And then he goes far beyond. He said, nor things present, nor things to come. He deals with the present. He deals with the day today. And then he deals with tomorrow. Anything, nothing that can come today or tomorrow can make you and I love God less. Why? Because of his great love for us. Why? Because we're going forward, not backward. He's perfecting our love. Amen. You understand that perfect love casts out fear. And Peter said this, he who feareth has not been made perfect or complete or mature in love. What is God doing? He's maturing our love. Hello? You say, is that true? Can I show it to you in scripture? Remember in Matthew 22, I believe it is, Jesus came to Peter and he said, "Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to sift you like wheat." He didn't say, "Peter, I stopped him." He said, "Peter, I've prayed for you." He says, "And when you come through, strengthen your brethren." Now watch this. It wasn't too much time later. That they're in the garden. The soldiers come from the Pharisees to arrest Jesus. And Peter sees what's happening and he pulls out his sword. And you know what he does? He chops off the high priest's servant's ear. He chops his ear off. Why? Because Peter, listen, I don't think Peter was trying to defend Jesus. No, Peter was thinking about Peter. Hello. Let me tell you what, the Bible says, love thy neighbor as you love yourself. You got to love yourself first before you can love your neighbor. Peter said, "I'm getting an A+ in loving myself." Peter said, "Oh, I love me some me." He said, "I want to live," so he's ready to fight. But that's where Peter was in the genesis of his discipleship. But when you read 2 Peter, Peter said this, "The Lord has shown me that I must shortly put off this tent." He says, "I must shortly put off this tabernacle." He says, "And I'm ready." So what happened? In the beginning of his walk, we saw Peter with his love in his infancy. Not willing to give anything for Christ. Not even willing to say, "Oh, I know him." Remember? He wasn't even willing to say, the girl said, "Weren't you one of them?" No. Mm-mm, who? "I'm not a Galilean. No, I don't know him." But no, Peter's love matured. His love matured and it came to the place where he even said, don't crucify me, right? Crucify me upside down, not like my Lord. Then he goes on, verse 39, neither height nor depth, neither height nor depth, nor any other created thing. Now, for me, Paul goes way out here. When I think about height or depth, I think about the cosmos. I think about that it keeps going up and up and up. And the astrophysicist tells us right now that the universe is expanding into space. It's just creating. It keeps going on and on and on. Paul says that none of that, nor any other created thing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Let me end with 1 John 4:10. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. Whoo, man, come on. This is love. Remember, when people want to ask you what love is and they start pointing at, all we need is love. Da, 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 da. Come on. Come on. That's a worldly love. That's a finite love. Come on. That's a impure, tainted love. No, in this is love. Not that we loved God, because we were his enemies and we were running a million miles an hour away from him. But his love captured us. His love apprehended us. That's what Paul says, that he apprehended me. Not that we love God, but that God loved us and has sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. So we see that it is not what anyone or anything can do to us that can separate us from the love of God, because Christ's love for us has produced a decisive victory for us in all things. It's his love that causes our love for him to be secure. It is his love that continually warms and heats up our love. Therefore, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Amen. All glory and all praise and all thanksgiving belongs unto him for his everlasting love. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Amen, Jesus. Father, we bless you now. We magnify you. We worship you. And we thank you, O God, for this great love that you have brought to us through Christ, our eternal Lord and Savior. And Father, I pray, Lord, for your will to have a free course and to work, O God, that which is well-pleasing in your sight in our hearts, that we constantly being changed and transformed, being renewed, Lord, in our faith from one level of faith to another level of faith, Lord, from one sphere of glory to another sphere of glory, O God, from strength to strength, in the power of our Lord and Savior, I pray that your word would bring forth Christ in us, that we might be, Lord, trophies of your grace, that we might be those who would declare your goodness, your mercies, which are everlasting, that we would declare the gospel of grace, Lord, to those who would hear, that they might be saved. Father, we thank you for the love of God that rests upon our lives. We thank you for the love of God bestowed upon us. We thank you for the love of God, Lord, that gives us, that supplies each breath, and not just physical breath, but that, oh, Lord, that just keeps the spirit of life flowing in us, oh God. Lord, your holy presence living in us, breathing and moving and having your being. Lord, we pray for your desire to be accomplished in us, in our homes, in our families, all by the power and grace of God. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen and amen. The Lord bless you real good.